Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. Yeah, thinking about a sermon here on Mother's Day, and the more I thought about this, what's good for the mothers is also good for the fathers and the young people. And so thank you, Myron, for your devotional there. If you would have had a title to it and a few minutes longer, that would have been a sermon. But we'll see what we can do here. If you would ask my children what would be a really good Mother's Day gift, I think I would almost know what they would say. She wants obedience all year long, is what she often would say, but it's not what we're going to talk about this morning. You can turn to 2 Kings 4. The title this morning is Women That Feared God. And I picked four different women from the Bible, a couple widows. I don't think there's any widows here, but let's see what we can learn from different women in the Bible. 2 Kings 4, 1-7. These are all familiar verses to us. 2 Kings 4, 1-7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. So maybe to the children, the younger children, I don't know if they know what debt means or not, but the older children probably do. But if I was going to go buy a house and didn't have enough money to pay for it, then I would have to borrow money, and that's called a debt. And you have to pay that back with interest. And here, so for collateral, they were wanting to take her sons. So if I don't pay my payments on my house, the bank would come and get the property for. And here they were coming to get her two sons for collateral, and she was desperate. We see in the first few verses she had a big need, and she went for help. She asked her neighbors for help, verse 3. Now that's something that we can, sometimes we think we have it all put together, but sometimes we just need to ask for help. Verse 4 there, it says, Go in and shut the door. I wondered about that. I wasn't sure quite what that was meaning. But I think it means that, because a miracle was going to happen, and it was supposed to be to not attract attention to herself. Shut the door, because God wants to get all the glory from this miracle. And she obeyed Elisha. Just imagine the great faith this took. Think about the small jar of oil. I don't know what size it was, just a little container, and all these bigger containers all around from the neighbors. I don't know if it was 50 of them or less or more, but he said get a bunch of them. So can you imagine what she was doing there as she was filling up those containers? I mean, this did not make sense. Small oil and big containers, but she obeyed the prophet and trusted that God would multiply the oil. So a couple of lessons I want to learn from this. Bring your emptiness to God. You might not have much, maybe you have just one jar of oil, but remember that God multiplies, and God loves to hear our needs. And then another one could be a personal responsibility. It's one thing we can learn from this little story here. She knew she wanted to pay the debt, and that was important to her. We could say trusting God through financial struggles. When we're at the end of our rope, or when you're at the end of your rope, look to God. Now, that's the first woman. The second one, turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but there's a few verses that I want to read. Verse 23 to 27. Now, this is talking about Moses, but what I want to look at here is Moses' parents, mother and father, which is, doesn't say it here, but Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches and the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We see Moses' parents had a faith that obeyed their hearts. The king said to kill all the babies that were born. Moses' parents had a loving, fearless faith. The parents knew if all the male children were killed, then the promised seed and the promised land of God would not be fulfilled. I believe that's why they hid him 3 months in the river. So what can we learn from Moses' mom or Moses' parents? Choose faith over fear. When facing overwhelming challenges, we can be courageous instead of fearful. Another thing that we can learn from this, do everything within your power to solve a problem wisely, and then trust God for the results. Do everything within your power to solve a problem wisely, and trust God for the results. Even in dark moments, do we believe God has a purpose for everything that happens? When she could no longer hide him, she put him in a basket. How safe was that in a basket by the river? Not very safe. I believe God wants us to let go of our anxieties, trusting that God's care is greater than our control. Trusting that God's care is greater than our control. And I believe the things that you choose today will impact generations. And one practical one could be, establish authority over your little ones. And while the, of course, the men are at work daytime, I think the women have a lot to do with even teaching, a lot of teaching at home with their children. Now the third woman, turn to 1 Samuel 1. And this here is about Samuel's mom. I also won't read the whole chapter here. Maybe the main point of this one would be, we can't always see what God is doing behind the scenes when we surrender our lives to Him. Let me read a few verses here. Verse 2 talks about he had Elkanah had two wives. The one was Hannah, the one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. And then at verse 3 there it says, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and the sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophniah and Phinehas, and the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And then if you go down to verse 9, and so she couldn't have any children. Verse 9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there should be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy poor petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And then verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought to the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. A couple things I think about as I was reading this. The first one is persistent prayer. She prayed directly to God, beginning of these verses. This morning, God hears the cries of the heart. And Hannah kept her promise or her vow, I will lend him to the Lord. That's integrity. She loved her precious child, and it would have been pretty easy to, I'm going to keep him, not give him to the Lord. Trusting God with the things most precious to her. Verse 18, after praying, her countenance changed, even before the answer arrived. So that's trust. Trust and faith she had. None of us can see the future. It takes faith. We must trust God's timing rather than taking matters into our own hands. I believe that's how it was here for Hannah. She loved her child, but she remembered the vow that she made that she would give the child over to God. The last I have here is 1 Kings 17. Here's another story about a widow woman. I had to think about this when we were singing that song, Jesus, I am resting, resting. The last stanza said, keep me ever trusting, resting, fill me with thy grace. I want to look at grace a little bit here as we read this last section here. 1 Kings 17, verses 8 to 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And this was Elijah. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it, for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake to Elijah. Another widow woman here, trusting in God's goodness when circumstances seem hopeless. I think it's trusting God when things are going good, and we also need to trust in God when things seem to be going in reverse. I believe Elijah saw her hesitation and fear here. Verse 13, fear not. I believe those were comforting words. Faith is not just believing, but acting in obedience. I believe willingness to share her last meal shows true faith and trusting in God's provision rather than hoarding what little she had. Because it didn't make sense to her, because she was making the last meal there before that was their last. I believe we could say God provides for our needs continuously, not just all at one time. Faith is tested in tough times. God may not spare us from hardship, but we can trust him through them. God provides daily strength to each of us. To each of you this morning, God provides daily strength. The flour and the oil never ran dry. I had to think about that just a little bit when she went to get more meal. I think it said here, till the famine ended. It's a few years. And I wonder if you thought about that every time she went to get a scoop of flour in her container. I'm going to liken that to grace. When you're tempted to grow weary, especially I think about the women with washing, ironing, their sickness, take another scoop of grace and some oil. Maybe it's child training. Maybe sometimes you feel like you can't get anything done with all the little children. Take another scoop of grace. Maybe you fear the future. Another scoop of grace. There'll be more there. Every time you scoop in for grace, God has more there. Maybe it's a school schedule. Maybe you just think about that Eli's just moved, and maybe they feel like nothing's organized. Another scoop of God's grace. Maybe you're tempted to do evil, gossip, cheating. God will give you the grace to live above sin. Are you content with your lot in life? Are you satisfied with doing everything? I think sometimes moms can do, they're trained in everything. Are you satisfied with doing that? And if you're not, if you're just a good, if all you like to do is make food, the house might be pretty messy, or vice versa. God will give us the grace to love others, and we're tempted not to. So let's think about, as we go through this week, the four women here, a lot of trust that we each have to trust God for our needs. Let's kneel for prayer.